Good morning, Shepherd in the Pines. Grace, mercy, and peace to you. These are God's gifts to you through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Amen. Well, we live in an age of the impossible made possible. I could say the age of, as if it just started now with us, but consider many of the things even the ancients did, the seemingly impossible made possible. Have you ever seen pictures of, that's all I've seen, or maybe in person you did, have you ever seen these ancient Incan walls in South America? Giant, giant stones, each fitted to the next like jigsaw pieces that you can't even pass, a piece of paper in between. You couldn't take a paper clip and straighten it out and somehow get it in. The stones fit so tightly together, and we still to this day don't fully know. We have our theories as to how they did it. Or we could pick other great stone, well, monstrosities of sorts. Stonehenge, right? Anybody been there? Not me. There we go. Easter Island, you know, the dum-dum statues from Night at the Museum, right? Or the Great Pyramids themselves. Or if we go to Jerusalem, don't recommend it to anybody anytime soon, there on the Western Wall, we'd find what's called the Western Stone. It weighs in at 570 tons and isn't local. That's rather amazing. And now man is at it again. Well, we could go any number of directions. We could go to medicine and see how we're at it again, making the impossible possible. But we could also just stick with heavy objects. Did anybody watch about a week ago what SpaceX did? Anybody? Did you see this? SpaceX, one of their rockets, I forget the name of it, didn't look it up for here, is the largest rocket that's ever been sent to space, or at least for now, even to the edge of space. They've been testing it out in introductory flights of sorts, but this week they did something rather wild. They shot it up to the edge of space, and then the main booster section itself, that is 23 stories tall and weighs in at over 250 tons, they sent it to the edge of space some 65 or 67 kilometers, and then it fell back to Earth faster than the speed of sound, and then right at the last, they hit those boosters up again, slowed it down, and actually caught it on the very same tower that they had just launched it from not so long before. The impossible made possible. Every generation seems to be in this business of making the impossible possible and possible again. We could even, if we had the eyes to see it, look around this room and say that it's also so. Yeah, churches are nothing new. This church might not be much spectacular, although those of us who love it, right? And in fact, I ran into a visitor down in San Diego this week. That would be Erica Sorensen's son, Christian, who has been here but once. And he says, I really want to come back to your church. I really loved your church. But even in this church, for all of our technology that's not cutting technology, it is sort of cutting technology compared with 100 years ago? We've got it. We've got lights that go on with the flip of a switch, a new light that does the same arrow that we just found out about. We've got amplification. We've got heat with the turn of a knob. The impossible, seemingly impossible, made possible. Still, with all this being the case, we now come to our text today. And Jesus opens his mouth to his disciples, and he also is going to introduce this idea of impossibilities. You can do it, Caleb. I know you can do it. It's possible. Jesus looked around him and said to his disciples, "How difficult it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were amazed at his words. And Jesus said to them again, here Mark chapter 10, children. He just in the verses before have been talking to them about children. And now he calls them children. Children, how difficult it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is far easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. And they were exceedingly astonished and said to him, "Then who, Jesus, can be saved?" That is quite an opening salvo by Jesus. Jesus picks on wealth, the wealthy. It's difficult for them to enter the kingdom of God, but then he generalizes a bit, and he says it's flat out difficult at all for anybody to enter the kingdom of God. And he next gives quite a picture that it's easier for a full-grown camel to go through the eye of a needle than for any rich person to enter the kingdom of God. Now, before we all say, "Good thing I'm not rich," consider the disciples' response. First, I don't think the disciples were much rich themselves. And yet, after hearing all of this, their response was, "Then who, Jesus, who at all can be saved?" And Jesus again looked at them and said, "With man it is impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God." Let's dig down into this. First, a note on the rich. Riches can and do become idols. Guilty here? Anybody? Yeah. Riches can lead us to trust in ourselves and not God. Guilty? Anybody? Here, me? Yeah, us? Yet, who amongst us is not rich by worldly standards? We might feel closer to these fishermen than, say, to Elon Musk, the head there of SpaceX, who I referred to earlier. We might feel closer to them, and yet, truly, we are still rich, every one of us here, by worldly standards, aren't we? If this is the dragnet of Jesus, then we are caught up in it also. Even as I know, we scrape and struggle and wring our hands and worry about today and worry about tomorrow. Yet through all time and all places, even us, even we, are rich. And even the disciples who do not appear rich seem stung by these words of Jesus. The focus seems less on the number of U.S. dollars you have in your pocket or in your bank. And the implication here of Jesus as he speaks to the disciples and as this word of God comes down to us is truly of the human impossibility of saving ourselves, of entering into God's kingdom on our own, of achieving our own rest. That was first, I suppose, a note on that word rich. But second, we have half a word about God from Jesus here. Half a word. He says, "With God, all is possible." That's Jesus saying in some sort of way a statement about God's omnipotence, right? His power, his strength, and therefore all things being possible to him. But imagine if Jesus had left the disciples or left us right here, that with God, all things are possible. Amen. Full stop. Imagine what kind of hellish religion that would have ushered forth for us. A God of possibilities, and yet no word from Jesus as to how to please this God. No word from Jesus as to what unlocks these possibilities of God. I'll tell you what happens when we believe in a God of possibilities, of strength and might and power, and yet have no word about what pleases him. Well, we invent some words. We invent some ideas and practices and religions and liturgies as to how to please him, and how that most often works out, whether we think of them as this or not. We invent for ourselves sacrifices whereby to please him. In fact, this is the religion of much of the world. Look, God, what I have done for you. And in fact, Peter begins taking up this religion in our text today. Peter, I love it. Whenever there's a pregnant pause, Peter's going to run right in and open his mouth. Some of this recognize this very thing in ourselves in the mirror. Peter jumps in and he takes up his own religion. Peter began to say, verse 28, "See, Jesus, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus, you say our God is the God of all possible things? Well, look, Jesus, at our sacrifice. We have left it all and we have followed you. Or to use a word from earlier in our text, Do you see, Jesus, how rich my sacrifice is for you? Jesus now gives Peter a positive response. In other places where Peter comes rushing in with his words, Jesus gives harsh responses, such as, "Get behind me, Satan." That's a rough day, right? But here Jesus gives him really a very kind response. He says, "Yes, you will receive much in this lifetime, even a new family, even 100 times what you have left behind, and it will be mixed with persecutions." That's a piece we don't want to hear much about. So don't get too excited, you might say. "And finally, you will receive eternal life." Yet, did you notice in the list of all the things Peter said he left behind and all the things that Jesus said would be added unto him, the leave behind things were father and mother and children and home and stuff. The Jesus talking positively stuff to Peter included mother and siblings and homes and stuff. But Jesus never mentions the Father. You will leave, you will receive, but it's not by your sacrifice that you will gain back all of these things, including a father or the Father, but it's because you are adopted. You are rescued that you will receive all these things. Our God will be tender toward you and care for you. You will not receive our Father because of what you have done, but you will receive entrance into his kingdom because of what he has done for you. "For did you not hear," he says, "children, how difficult it will be to enter the kingdom of God? It would be easier for that camel to get through that needle." And they ask, "Then who can be saved?" But Jesus now begins to talk to them about this salvation. For the engineers and the mad scientists through the ages, or people like us, imaginative about what sacrifice we might offer to God, we always seek to find a way to figure things out. But in fact, when we've done all these things, whether in our work week last week, and by the way, when I think of the engineers, I was thinking of you two gentlemen even today in your daily jobs, engineering your way through one problem to the next, taking the broken and making it whole. For us, when we think of the impossible made possible, really it's only the seemingly impossible made possible. But when it comes to the disciples here before Jesus, or us trying to offer some sort of sacrifice as Peter suggests he and the others have done, and even when it comes to Jesus giving a positive response in all these things, all that we are ever capable of is either fouling things up or fixing things for a moment or taking the seemingly impossible and making it possible. But when it comes to establishing our life before the Father, leaving Father to gain a Heavenly Father, this is impossible for us. Paul got there. He got to the nub of it in Romans. As we've said probably on many Sundays before, "Oh, wretched man that we are, who will save us from this body of death?" Sadly, whoever it was that chose our text for today stopped when they stopped at verse 31. And I looked ahead to the coming Sundays. The next Sunday, we're away from Mark. But even when we come back to the Gospel of Mark, we'll come back to chapter 12, and we'll miss the verses directly after this. And so let me give them to you here and now. Verse 32. Right after this, they were on the road going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking ahead of them, and they were amazed, and those who followed were afraid. Just like the disciples moments ago marveled at Jesus' teaching. "Who then can be saved?" they said. And now they're afraid again. And taking the 12 again, Jesus began to tell them what was to happen to him, saying, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles. And they will mock him and spit on him and flog him and kill him." And yet after 3 days, the impossible will happen. He will take up his life again. He will rise. And Jesus did all of this. And he does all of this. Today in your midst, the impossible is made possible by God. And Jesus doesn't just wait for us to fill in the religion where he otherwise would have said half a word. No, he gives us a whole religion. And it's not one where we go up to Jerusalem and we make the right sacrifice or we do it day by day. It's not what's demanded of us now. For even if it was demanded of us, we couldn't give it. It would remain impossible. No, Jesus here delivers to us a full religion that comes our way, where the impossible is accomplished. He dies, the innocent for the guilty. He rises, not in vengeance, not in revenge, but in peace. He restores our souls, our very lives, to the Father. Yes, we can give away much in this lifetime for Jesus, and he'll continue to bless us with brothers and sisters and a home, right? But none of our giving away of these things, even laying them at his feet or using them to help his kingdom, none of this earns for us the Father that otherwise we might give up, but rather Jesus earns for us that Father. Jesus, God's one and only Son, makes us, now true children of the Father, by his death, his resurrection. He restores our soul. Not false riches that condemn, but heavenly riches that he now shares with us and with all. And even so, he does this for us today. For we will come forward to this place that looks a little bit like the old temple, right? There's an outer door, another door, a railing. And yet none of these are meant to guard us from the Holy of Holies, but the Holy of Holies has been opened by the blood of Jesus, and we are invited forward. The altar, which was a place of sacrifice, now has received the sacrifice once and for all, and now the altar has been turned into a table where the gifts are given to folks like you and me. Waters which once drowned to death now drown us and grant us life. That going from this place, we not only say, I was baptized, but we say, I am baptized. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have placed their name on me through the death and resurrection of Jesus. And so this week, we go our way. Our ultimate striving has been accomplished for us by Christ Jesus our Lord, the impossible made possible. And we will continue to strive with smaller issues, real as they are to us. And yet Jesus, having accomplished all of this for us, grants us now a Father who cares for us through his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who cares for us through the giving of the Holy Spirit, who calls us, gathers, enlightens us, sanctifies us. And hear this word as well. This is a good word for people like you and me. Sustains us day to day, Sunday to Sunday, from death to life, to life eternal. You are therefore rich in Christ and his gifts, the richest people of all, free. Free to be, free to live, free to serve. God's people say, amen.